Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash, brought to you by TV Talk, the official podcast of TVTalk.fm. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how are you doing tonight?
We're back.
We are, and it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine, man. We've got a great episode to talk about this week, and of course, we are only able to do it because of our amazing supporters at patreon.com/TVTalk. If you would like to learn more how you can help support this show, that is the place to do it. Again, that is patreon.com/TVTalk. Bell, you are right. We are back. It is, well, I'm about to jump into the rundown before I'm ready to jump into the rundown, but we are very much back. Season 8, ladies and gentlemen, I am so eager to dive in. Are you eager to dive in?
Let's do it.
All right, man, let's jump into the rundown. Episode 1 of Season 8, Armageddon Part 1, directed by Eric Dean Seton and story by
Eric Wallace.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, 6 months later, when a powerful alien threat arrives on Earth under mysterious circumstances, Barry, Iris, and the rest of the team are pushed to their limits in a desperate, get it, battle to save the world.
Dun, dun, dun. I did not get it until you pointed it out. Oh, man.
I couldn't decide between desperate, get it, or a Despero battle. I think the first one was best.
No. No, it's good that we addressed it and you went through your other options because that definitely makes it even funnier. Y'all, it's a fresh start this season, man. Like this episode, everything about it, really felt like almost like a relaunch, like we are coming out of the gate swinging. We're kind of reintroducing everybody to all these characters as they are getting to whole new levels. And I think that was a big theme of this episode as a whole, not so subtly leveling up. That being said, man, it did feel like they were reintroducing us to the Flash. And I got to tell you, there is no better time to do this. It makes sense. We're talking about a crossover event for the next several episodes that, while yes, the beginning of Flash Season 8 also kind of stands as the crossover event for the DC TV universe for this season. But I got to tell you, I'm so grateful that this is how we are starting this season because it feels right, it feels fresh, and I am excited for this season of The Flash. I just want to get that out the way out the gate, man. Overall, what were you thinking about this episode?
Yeah, you know, it was cool to see this Flash like the Flash in the comics, right? Like confident, you know, a leader, like a real leader. And leveled up, you know, he's not struggling to find way, like he is at his peak, and that's so cool to see after 7 seasons we finally, you know, get that Flash.
Yeah, and it's not just the Flash. I mean, all of the characters are really on another level. You know, this time jump of 6 months, obviously a lot has happened, and I'm really grateful for it. In many respects, it feels very similar to, man, what was it? I think it was after season 2 of Black Sails. That's a show I hope that we cover on TV Talk at some point. And so not to spoil anything, but suffice to say, after season 2 of Black Sails, there's a bit of a cliffhanger that leaves you thinking that they might come back in season 3 rehashing a lot of stuff they've already rehashed. But when you come back to season 3, you find out like, oh, well, you know what? All of that stuff happened and now it's a different world and the story is much more interesting. And you kind of appreciate that. Sometimes you're frustrated things happen off camera. Sometimes you're grateful. And I think a lot of kind of the way in which we see the layout of Central City, the way in which you see the layout of Team Flash, some stuff has happened off camera and I am grateful for it because I like these version of these characters. And Bell, just like you said, we are dealing with more comic accurate versions of these characters in ways that I think is going to make for a really fun season 8 and a really fun future for this series.
You want to know what didn't change?
What didn't change, Bell?
The roof of Star Labs.
No. You know what? That is a good point, man. You think of all the leveling up that has occurred, and yet no one has thought to hire a contractor for Star Labs.
I mean, the water damage alone, it has to be just horrible.
had a whole dang crisis, and that roof is still in shambles. But yeah, man, no, I think it's going to be like that until the end of the season. I hope, like, last episode of the series, man. That's what I want for the season finale, is like they come home, or they come back to Star Labs, the roof is patched, and it's McSnurtle up there just winking at the camera. Like, yeah, here I was, and this is what I've been doing, and that's why it took so long. All right, Bell, let's jump into this. There's some things I want to kind of address. First of all, the Royal Straight Gang is back.
Yes, we hadn't seen them in a long time.
You got to call me out here, man. I called them the Royal Straight Gang. That's obviously not their name.
Well, yeah, it's the Royal Flush Gang.
Yeah, but okay, so here's my thing, and this is what I love, because I've got such like nitpicky, like the tiniest things to poke at this episode, and this is certainly one of them. It is the Royal Flush Gang. But if you look at all of their costumes, they're all different suits.
That's right, because she was the Queen of Diamonds. I want to say, I don't
remember. One of them was Heart, one of them was Diamond, one of them was Club, and one of them was Spade. Like, all of them were from different suits, and I was just kind of looking at it, and I'm like, was this the case? They were not this branded, I don't believe, when they first showed up early on in the series, right?
I think they just went by, like, you know, Jack, King, Queen, and 10.
Right.
And I don't recall them having suits like on their, I mean, I could be wrong. But yeah, it's kind of weird to call yourself the Royal Flush Gang and then, you know, design your costumes to not be a Royal Flush.
It's a Royal Straight. I was waiting for like Barry or somebody to make the comment, because this is what makes up for it, man. They are the most punny villains that we've had in a long time, and I am 100% here for it. I loved every single cheese-filled, cheese-stuffed, cheese-fried line that came from these villains, man.
We read your head, and then you stacked the deck. You know? I know when to hold them, you know?
Just grinning at him and just like, you know, just playing along with it. I loved it, man. I loved the Royal Flush Gang. And my only little poke is that it's like, guys, come on. You're clearly committed to the bit. Why did nobody? They just couldn't agree on which suit, I guess, you know?
Yeah, you know. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe like they were out of patches in the same suit, and so they just...
Well, sometimes, Bao, when you're dealt a hand and the card flips and the river turns, then you put your chips on the table. But what you bet is not what you receive. For when the deck is stacked and the house of cards falls, then you'll cash out and bet big. Card pun.
Look, when you're the costume designing agency or costume designing department on one of these TV shows, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, they fold them a lot. They fold all the costumes, I'm sure. Very well. We're very well pressed. Yeah. Bell, it's a minor thing. And honestly, I just hope that when they show up again, and I mean, please bring back the Royal Flush Gang, because I love the puns. I love the puns. I love the puns. And I'm here for it. But somebody's got to make like comments about the fact that it should be called the Royal Straight Gang. Anyway, all right. Yes. So that was fun. In that sequence, by the way, talking about level up, we got a chance to see Barry go full on Quicksilver.
Yeah, that was really cool. You know, it's one of those things where you run into this problem in superhero shows where when your heroes do level up and there is, you know, a clear usage of powers in the season finale that like doesn't transfer over into the next season. And I think Flash Time's been one of those things where it's like,
mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, he's basically a god, right? He can move so fast that everyone else is essentially at a standstill. I'm so glad they put that in there, because I'm like, that's how most, if not all, of Flash's interactions with most villains should go down.
I agree. It's an interesting power set that, you know, over 8 seasons or over 7 seasons and now coming into 8 has been a difficult one for writing teams to manage, because when you have so many different people writing for this character, the way in which he uses his powers or what his power level is can come across as really, really inconsistent. And it's not just a character of this level. I mean, if you think about most superhero television shows where you're dealing with a hero who does have some kind of super ability, it can be a little inconsistent. Even Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I mean, in many respects could be art, you know, between Buffy and Smallville, I think you have kind of the gold standards. Even in both those shows, there were times where, you know, Buffy would do something that you're like, wait, she could do that? She has that kind of strength? Well, why hasn't she used that before? You know, like,
yeah, like we've been rewatching that, you know, and the, I think, I don't remember which season it was, the one with Adam, and like,
right.
they form, yes, like the Super Buffy, and it's like, okay, well, will the Super Buffy not help you kill Gloria? We hadn't finished that season yet, so no spoilers.
Yeah. wait, do you know who Gloria is?
I don't, I think we just watched that episode where like they said she's a god.
But do you, oh, so you don't know who Glory is?
I don't know who Glory is yet.
Belle doesn't know who Glory is, y'all.
So
everybody who knows who Glory is like, you're doing it. I'm doing it in my head right now. He's not there yet. That's fun, man. I'm going to look forward to some Buffy TV talk.
Should I know before then? Or is this one of those things where it's like,
well, I'll put it this way. It's been so long since I've watched the series. I can't remember when that whole like element of the story gets introduced. And then, but basically once it happens, there'll be something that also happens. And then you'll just start texting me this thing. Kind of like, you know, all your base are belong to us type situation.
Okay. Yeah. Cause Gloria's a god, and I don't know anything beyond that.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So,
no spoilers.
Buffy TV talk. There you go. Back to the Flash, the show that we are covering at the moment here. Yeah. It can be a struggle because you do have to kind of manage that power set. And that is something that I think is going to be a challenge. And even in this episode, you can kind of see that challenge, because obviously when he's going up against the Royal Flush gang, he's on this whole other level. And then when Despero shows up, you're like, he seems like, why are you kind of just pacing? Like, why are you just running around him? But
I would have loved to have seen a scene like we got in Justice League where, you know, he's trying to run around him, and then Despero is like tracking him with his eyes, and Barry notices it.
Ooh, yeah.
That would have been really cool, because that immediately illustrates to the audience that this dude is on the same level or like another level than the Flash. Right.
Well, so this is the thing though. This is my point. It's a challenge for television. Like, movies have the benefit of only having like an hour and a half, 2 hours with these characters to kind of like showcase, okay, this is something really cool they can do, and this is something really cool that they did. But when you've got like, you know, like 30 hours of television that you're going to spend with this character, that can be a challenge to manage. So anyway, I just want to point out, like, I love how they picked up after the end of last season where we saw Barry talking about how he's gotten better, he's gotten faster. And I love that we're not picking up with like, oh, Barry, you got to get faster. It's like, no, we actually see him on this whole other level. Speaking of on a whole nother level, we see a lot of these characters have leveled up. Iris, the CCC, is at a entirely new level. It is now more of a media company that is coming together. She is a podcaster, and you know you've made it when you become a podcaster. But I do, you know, it has to be addressed. Iris and Kramer, you've got to get a little bit closer to the mic, okay? You got to get a little bit closer to the mic. It's going to be easier for your editor if you're closer to the mic. They're going to have to crank you up and clean up the room noise like crazy.
No, it's perfectly fine to be that far away if you want your podcast to sound like this.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Mike, sorry,
is,
Mike.
Our editor, Mike, right now is like pulling his hair out. Like, no, absolutely not. We're not going to do that to him.
But I mean, being like this is Iris mode.
No, yeah, uh-huh.
And this is professional podcasting.
This is professional podcasting mode. That's right. Yeah. See, this is what you got.
But hey, you know what? They didn't have the number one rated Flash podcast. They didn't consult us to learn how to properly, you know.
You know what it was? Iris heard that Flash TV Talk was dropping the Flash and going to TV Talk. She saw the vacuum in the marketplace. She was like, well, I'm going to have the number one Flash podcast now.
I mean, literally.
Exactly. No, man, but I love it. I love actually seeing CCC, you know, not kind of in a drafty kind of warehouse situation, which is kind of that startup, you know, kind of next level. And that's a big, big moment. When I first opened up my studio in an abandoned building, I've been there, you know, that's great. But go on to the
abandoned building TV Talk.
Yes. Now we're in the TV Talk campus of the future. No, I love the new location. I love the energy. I love the team. I love the staff. I love seeing Iris in kind of this boss role, man. Like, you know, we've seen her as kind of that team leader for Team Flash. And I know there's been such a desire from fans of her character and of the comic book character to really see her on a whole new journalistic level. And I think this feels right. I think instead of kind of just going with Ace Reporter or something of that nature, which was fine and occasionally when utilized, I think this kind of takes everything that we've known of this Iris on this earth, in this show, in this universe, and really brings her to kind of that quintessential Iris role. And I'm excited for it, man. This is actually a a citizen that seems much more interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's also interesting to me how I feel a lot like Allegra right now.
I was going to say, man, as soon as like she like put Allegra in charge and she was pointing like, I have no management experience. I've never done this before. Everybody around me is more qualified. I'm sitting back and I'm thinking like, I bet Belle really connects with Allegra right now. We haven't talked about this, but you recently got promoted.
So I recently got promoted to a senior. And then maybe 2-3 weeks after that, my manager quit. And so they needed somebody to come up and lead the team.
Right.
And since I had a lot of experience on the team, just got promoted to senior, they're like, do you want the job? And I was like, I guess. So, yeah, super interesting.
It's a little bit of kindred with Allegra right now, except you don't have the ability to go Super Saiyan.
Like normally I might be like, whatever, this storyline, I don't really care. But I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I have a personal connection to this.
It is interesting, man. And I think it won't be relatable for everybody, but I certainly relate it with this storyline as well. Because I remember the first time that I was ever promoted into management, like my team was not happy that I got promoted. Some of them were at the location longer. Others felt they were more qualified. And, you know, honestly, there's probably an argument to be made that they were more qualified than I was going into this. But the company I was working for saw potential in me and wanted to put me in that position to kind of test that theory that I was ready for, you know, for that management experience. Now, on the flip side, I've also been on the other side where I've been part of a team where someone was promoted over me that was not nearly as experienced as I didn't have as much time on the team. And like, you know, I was like, huh, this is really interesting. And when you're in that role, you can either be bitter about it and frustrated, or you can say, like, I've actually been here before. In fact, most people who've gone into management have been here before. Everybody's first management gig is like this. And so I can actually help make it easier by getting behind them and being supportive as opposed to challenging them or, you know, like steam, you know, completely like, you know, steamrolling them like essentially Allegra's team did at first.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was neat. It was kind of interesting to have a personal connection to that storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got Ray, who's also in kind of this leveling transition, right? He's still grinding his XP, trying to get to that next level. Doesn't quite know what he wants to do. Ray, of course, haven't seen him in quite some time here on The Flash, but you've shared with us in the past his journey on Legends and kind of where we find him. I was a little perturbed with Ray this episode. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, how so?
Well, so I'm with Chester. Like, Chester, like, get, you know, he's so excited. He's got, you know, Ray Palmer here, and, you know, Chester's geeking out over everybody and everything, but now it's like, oh, it's like Tech Hero, and he gets all these kids with their startup, and Ray's looking at these kids like, man, I don't care about these kids. I'm just trying to figure out my life. Like, and they're all ready to, like, pitch their ideas and everything else, and I was sitting there thinking, like, you know, okay, and you'll have to correct me, but he's broke, right? Like, he's no longer Palmer Tech money anymore, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. He was a legend, and they never really brought it up then. But, like, I you would assume that, you know, whatever happened to Palmer Tech, he's got money from that. Because, obviously, he's opening up this, you know, foundation to help these kids. So, I mean, I assume he's got some money now.
Yeah, but, like, he's, like, crashing at Barry and Iris's place.
No, that was because he couldn't get a hotel room. They were all booked up.
I mean, if you've got, like, Palmer money, you'd think you'd be able to get a hotel room.
Yeah, but I mean, who wants to, like, not stay at the hotel next to the convention center?
Well, that's true. You remember...
Well, but I guess... how close to Barry... Does Barry and Iris live to the convention center?
Yeah, you know? But even for, like, South By, as you recall, I was, like, sleeping on your couch for a couple nights, and then I was able to get a hotel at the... that was at the convention
yeah.
center.
Okay. Yeah, so hold on here. Why are you criticizing him when you've done exactly the same thing?
fair point. That's a very fair point.
You've literally done exactly the same thing.
I still got a hotel eventually. Anyway, point is that, yeah, that's fair.
If anybody should complain about Ray, it's me, because he's doing what you did to me.
I know. You and your roommate were just kind of looking at, you were making, hey, we need to make a baby eyes at each other. And I was like, hey, guys, how's it going? But of course, in this scenario, the baby eyes was video games, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. You're sleeping on our video game couch.
I crashed on y'all's video game couch. All right. Yes. So Ray is kind of in this transition stage. I was really, man, I felt for those kids. Like, they're just all, like, giddy, and they're thinking, like, he's got Palmer money, because we don't know if he's got Palmer money, but those kids think he's got Palmer money. And he's just like, Yeah, you know what? I don't even know if I want to do a tech company right now. I'm like, you could at least hear their pitches. You could at least give them feedback.
Yeah, yeah. But no, he decided to encompass the Michael Jordan meme of F them kids.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right, man. That's exactly who he was this episode. But it was great to see him back. Love the allusion to the fact that you know, he can shrink things, and yet he brings his whole wardrobe along with him on this trip. I really dug kind of the dynamic between him and Chester. There was a lot of kind of, I mean, they're very different characters, and they're at very different places in kind of their career and in terms of their, I guess, superhero world experience. But at the same time, you know, it was nice. It was nice to see Ray, you know, setting up the foundation, naming it after Chester's dad. It was kind of a sweet little send-off. And I'm curious, do you think that we are done with him? Was this his kind of contribution to this crossover, or do you think we'll actually see him again?
I think we'll see him again because Ryan Choi is going to be in the crossover.
See, that's the only reason why I think we're going to see him again, too, because otherwise I would think not. Because that whole, like, his whole, like, long stare at Barry when, like, the elevator was closing seemed like a send-off moment.
I mean, it kind of did, but I don't know.
Speaking of which, his advice to Barry, while it did prove successful, I was like, did Ray just tell Barry to do the Care Bear stare? Like, you know, Barry, you'll never defeat him the normal way. If you want to defeat him, you have to show him who you really are. I'm like, oh, no, no.
He should have been like, Barry should have been like, dude, that's like what I did to beat all my villains last
season.
Yeah,
I did that all last season and people hated that season. I mean, it worked. It was very social distance safe for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But not as interesting to work. Although, it worked. I think it worked, especially for the story that we had here. Man, I want to make mention of this. Kramer returns. Pseudo surprisingly, I guess we knew that she was coming back. But I was thinking as I was watching her, A, much better use of the character in this kind of role and the dynamic with her being kind of Barry's boss. I'm much more interested to seeing this Kramer. But I realized something. As, you know, she's dealing with whole, you know, discovering she's a meta and like how she used to hate metas. And Belle, all last season, all we wanted was Kramer versus Kramer. But what we didn't realize, Belle, was that the entire time it was Kramer versus Kramer, because it was Kramer versus herself.
Right? Going meta with it.
Yes. I'm going.
Get it?
Getting with it. Going meta with the meta commentary. More great TV talk up in just a few minutes, but first, we got to pay a few bills. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Anyway, what did you think about her as kind of Barry's new boss?
I think it's going to be interesting because obviously she's going to get super speed at some point and be like, huh. And it's going to be one of the, like, again, the people who would benefit from knowing Barry is a meta, it would benefit both him and you know, the other person. Kramer would be one of those people,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
She, you know, she's in law enforcement. She can, you know, vouch for him when things pop up and stuff like that. And what does he do? He freaking unmasks himself in front of the villain again. Barry is so keen to share his secret with everyone except the people who need to know it the most.
Yeah.
And I think Kramer is one of those people. I think at this point she can be trusted.
I don't know, man. She's kind of fresh into this whole new, like, down with, you know, the meta cause.
He met Despero, a man who came from the future to kill him.
An alien.
An alien who came from the future to kill him, and he was unmasked within 15 minutes.
Kramer has to try to kill him, man. He waits until you're trying to kill him or kill somebody else, and then he unmasks. That's when he unmasks.
I just think it's a bad idea of showing all of your villains who you are.
She already cares, man. She doesn't need the Care Bear stare. She already cares.
It's just, you know, the reason he wears the mask is to protect the people that he loves. And then the only people he takes it off for are the people who are trying to kill him.
Oh, it's funny because it's true. It was good. You know, so that's the thing. I love how we're setting up the stage in this first episode, not just for this big crossover event, but for the kind of the series as a whole. We even kind of have some allusions to, future plot lines that are seeded throughout. For example, we know that the kids will be coming back, that they have been coming back and forth from the future to the present. Very curious as to the reason why. Why this time? Why is it, you know, at this place that they keep on popping up? I did think it was funny because when Ray knocked on the door, when Barry and Iris were trying to, get with the baby making, I thought it'd be really funny if it was actually one of the kids and they like knock, knock, knocked. Hey, mom. And then they just immediately disappeared because...
Did the Back to the Future thing where like their hand starts to disappear and they're like, oh, crap, I got to go.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah. Oh, snap. That was to... Oh! Like dust away, man. Just dust away.
Or they just get younger by like, you know, 6 months.
Oh, wow. That's not how anyway, it doesn't matter. We've already had that conversation. Anyway, so yeah.
If he pushes back the date of his conception, then he'd be younger when he comes back from the future.
But genetically speaking, man, okay, so there's a flower and there's a bee, all right? And then there's lots of bees that are trying to get to the flower, okay? And then, but like the flower's only there, and then another flower comes along, and then there's different bees at that point. You know, I'm just saying that different flowers and bees... You know what? I think we should just move on. Time sickness. Iris still has a time sickness. It's apparently manageable, at least for the moment. But something tells me that's being mentioned because it'll come up again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be probably the big plot line for after Armageddon.
At least hopefully for a part of the season. It does need to be addressed. And based on how this, you know, how things are being laid out, I'm excited. You can tell in the way in which all of these characters are being presented, and even just the world of the Flash is being kind of reintroduced, the creative team behind season 8 knows where they're at and what they need to do. That's encouraging to me. I'm excited to see where this season goes. And I'm excited because of the use of the characters, even in this episode. I've been thinking a lot about this, Belle, because, you know, we had like Cecile. Cecile was in this episode. She's using her powers. She's kind of sensing what's going on with other characters. She's, you know, because of her mental abilities, she's also able to validate, because they're going up against a psychic villain. She's able to kind of not necessarily counteract that, but also kind of validate that there's not kind of some head messiness going on or anything like that. So all of these characters are playing a role. You know, the last couple of weeks, we have covered several movies on this podcast, and I have expressed my frustration with certain of these movies. For example, Dune and Eternals. Now, I'm not about to spoil those two movies or anything of that nature, so no need to switch off. But my major frustration with both of those movies is that they've got too many characters without enough time to shine. And with Eternals, really more so than Dune, equal weight is trying, like, the movie is trying to carry a lot of these characters in kind of like equal leading role capacity. And that kind of breaks. Now, a couple of days ago, man, I watched another movie. I don't know if you've seen it yet. The Harder They Fall on Netflix. Have you seen it?
No.
Fantastic film. It's got is it Jonathan Majors who played Kang or He Who Remains on Loki, and he's going to be a Kang in Ant-Man coming up.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
No, it's not Jonathan Taylor Thomas. No, but he's in it, and then also Idris Elba. It's a fantastic cast. It's a large cast, an ensemble cast, and you have like all of these different characters with all of their different motivations. But it is done so in a very Captain America Civil War kind of way in many respects, because you have kind of your central character who has a central mission, and all of these other characters stand to either like, you know, add into that mission, kind of support the mission, or stand against it. And that is when an ensemble cast really gets a chance to shine, is when you have a clear kind of like, you know, protagonist and a really awesome developed supporting cast that is treated like a supporting cast and not like they're all supposed to be the main characters in this film. And I think that the Flash and a lot of television shows in the modern age has struggled with this because there's been a desire to have more ensemble casts to really lift up, you know, a lot of different characters and not just have it all be about one centralized character. But the reality is the story in which you're following does need to latch on to one centralized character where all of the other characters can really shine in how they either support or fight against that main narrative. And, you know, we see a couple of different stories kind of going on in this episode for sure. But I feel like if you like hold up The Eternals and The Harder They Fall as two of these films with ensemble casts that are attempting something similar, but one falls flat and the other like succeeds, that's what The Flash needs to do. It needs to focus on The Flash. And I have a feeling, man, and maybe I'm wrong. I could be proven wrong. But I feel like in season 8, after a lot of the criticism, after a lot of the feedback that came out of season 7, I think we're primed and ready with a creative team that knows what they're doing, knows what they need to do, and knows that they need to latch back onto The Flash and his story. And by allowing these characters to get behind that central quest, that central narrative, it will allow them to shine in such a better way. Treat the supporting characters like supporting characters, not just like, you know, to be cast out to the side, but to be developed in supporting character roles. And they will become far more interesting and far better developed and, you know, have that time to shine. So anyway, it's just my little soapbox that I want to get on because, you know, you've been bashing me for some of the movies that we covered. And I did just recently see a movie that I was like, no, this right here, this is how you do an ensemble cast. So there you go. The Harder They Fall. That's my pitch for that movie while also addressing my concerns and hopes for this season of The Flash.
I want to watch that movie and I'm going to just make myself not like it.
No, you can't. It's so good. It's a really good movie. Like it's just good. It's a simple Western film, but it's fun. It's Quentin Tarantino-esque. It's wonderful. See it. All right. Before we jump into Despero, I want to make mention of one other thing. Caitlin Snow also in this episode. Bell, before we dive into some speculation here, any other thoughts on this episode?
Yes, absolutely. I don't know why you didn't mention it, but Ray Palmer ripped his shirt open like Superman, and he totally should have had a Superman undershirt on underneath that.
Why? I mean, like as a super fan type situation?
Yeah. I mean, he lives in a universe with Superman. Like, why can't you wear a Superman undershirt and then him like rip it off and wink to the camera and be like, ha-ha! You know, it's like, I mean, come on. If he's going to rip the shirt off as an homage, he can at least have a Superman t-shirt on underneath it.
I mean, I think that's fine, but I would have rather him had his like, I mean, we talked about it in our in kind of our lead up episode where we talked about the newsflash episode, that it's kind of tricky for him to have his own suit underneath. So sure, I suppose. Yeah. Having a Superman suit shirt would be fun.
I mean,
we're not going to do that. That's too confusing. All right. But Despero, man, we need to talk about Despero, and that is going to bring us to
Speedster Speculation.
Okay, Despero. Man, first let me just start it off this way. What is Despero?
He is an alien.
Is he, though? That, like, he was referred to in this episode as alien. Now, okay, that, you know, maybe we should address the fact that comic book Despero is an alien. Yes?
Well, okay, so first off, I want to say this, though. Did I not say that he was, because we were talking about it in our speculation episode about like when the trailer came out about like why he wasn't, you know, big and had his fin and his third eye and stuff, and I think I was saying that he was like using some technology to like blend in with humans, and I think I called that, but I mean it's kind of obvious to begin with.
Interesting.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was
obvious to me at least. I'm sure it's,
I mean, that was a safe bet, but even then you're kind of, you know, that's not necessarily been confirmed. We know that he is using advanced technology. Is it to blend in with humans, or is it that he is human and the technology is what activates some sort of like alien gene?
When we first see him, it is his shadow and he is in his alien form.
Yes.
And then the shadow morphs down into the human form.
Yes.
So I'm thinking that that is his original form.
Okay. All right. No, I mean, like, I think that's a safe bet. Here, all right.
The thing that throws me off is you know, he's going to destroy their planet.
No, he says our planet.
Well, sorry. There as in like Barry and Despero's planet.
But right.
Yeah, he says you're going to destroy our planet. Like, not my planet, not your planet, our planet.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. So. All right, I've got theories, but I'm curious as to, like, at this stage of the game, because clearly they're taking Despero in a different route. Like, I think that's safe to say we're dealing with a very different Despero. He looks comic book accurate, which, by the way, I mean, that CGI was fantastic.
I thought it looked pretty good. I
mean, it is light years of, like, Fuerza? You remember Fuerza?
Yeah, Fuerza was not pretty good.
No, they developed Fuerza on, like, Windows 5, man.
There's no such thing as Windows 5.
Was it not Windows 5?
There's Windows 3.1 and then Windows 95.
95, Windows... that's what I was trying to think of. They developed Fuerza on Windows 95. we're leagues ahead, man.
Yeah, yeah, he looked good. And like I was sitting there, I was like, okay, when we first saw him in alien form, I was like, okay, he's still missing the third eye. Then I saw his forehead and I was like, his forehead looks interesting. I bet his third eye is going to open up from there. And sure enough, it did. But only when he uses that power, which is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Despero in fully woke form. Boom, bah, third eye open. Yeah, no, that was great. But no, I thought overall, The CGI looked incredible. I thought he looked menacing. I thought he looked legitimately there. You could tell that they knew they had to get this right, and you feel it. I think it's proven, you know, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. But what is Despero? Bell, what is Despero? Is he human? Is he alien? What is he?
I mean, maybe he's like a refugee who came to Earth.
Superman-esque.
Yeah, and like he came to Earth because his planet was ruined or destroyed or whatever, and he came to Earth and he was like, cool, I'm going to hang out here. Because, you know, the in Supergirl, you know, they have alien refugees all over Earth, and so maybe he heard about that.
Okay,
he's like,
yeah,
I was like, yeah, I'll come hang out on Earth. That'll be cool. And yeah, maybe that's what it is. And so he's like, cool, this is my planet now. This is awesome. Oh, no, Flash blows it up in 30 years or 10 years. Yeah, so, I mean, that line, that our planet line is what throws me off.
And they even address it, too. Like, I think, I can't remember if it was Iris or Barry, but somebody mentioned, like, what did he mean by our planet?
Yeah, maybe, because if he was there to, like, conquer it, he wouldn't say our planet.
Unless he did conquer it. Ooh. What if we're dealing with an Armageddon that he... Okay, all right, now hang on. I was going to go in a different direction with my speculation, but that's an interesting concept. What if in the future, let's say, what are we dealing with? 5 years in the future? What was the math on that?
It was 2031.
Okay, so let's say in 2029, Despero comes to the planet and conquers it, and Barry is trying to fight him, and in the desperation, maybe like Despero does something to Barry, which destroys the planet.
No, because he wouldn't say our planet. He'd say my planet.
Ooh, that's a good point. Okay, that's fair. Yes.
So that's why it doesn't make any sense. If he came to conquer, he'd say my planet. You destroy my planet.
Mm.
And then that would make Barry think, I've never been to space. Like, when am I going to go to destroy your planet? And it's actually Despero's talking about he conquered Earth, and then Barry, in defeating him, destroyed it or something like that.
Well, maybe he's like Poe Dameron and Dune. He's like, you know, I'm a much better colonist than those last colonists. Maybe... He came to Earth to, he wants to co-manage Earth with everybody that's there.
Look, he's trying to cultivate desert power.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying. He's trying to cultivate Earth power. That's what he wants. Yeah. Our planet. By your powers combined. He's here from, he's the new Captain Planet is what he is. All right.
I don't know.
That's not it.
Yeah. Or maybe Barry, like, teams up with him to rule or something like
that. No, all right, crazy. That's way, like, out of the field. No way.
Yeah, right.
Okay, here's my theory. I'm thinking that because, all right, so if you look at the whole design of him, it's really well done and very specific. But that eye, man, is very different from his other eyes. Now you could chop that up to the fact that we are dealing with, while really quality CGI, still CW television CGI. That being said, like, that eye was all over the place. I'm wondering if Despero here on the Flash is more akin to, like, Venom. Like, he's some sort of, like, he has some sort of symbiotic relationship with the human of Earth. And that eye is the real Despero. And the whole, like, you know, him kind of morphing into this, like, beast of a thing is him merging with the Despero alien. Like, there's actually a human that's wearing a Despero suit, if you will.
No, I like that, because it's kind of like the royal we. He's not saying our as in me and Barry. He's saying our as in my human and my alien counterpart. Dang.
There you go. Wow.
Like he's got a Starro on his face or something.
Yeah. So I was thinking Starro, man. Yes.
Yeah, so that would make sense if he was referring to himself and his parasite as two separate entities and referring to it as our.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he's referring to other members of his species.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He could still be referring to him and Barry. I don't know. I just think that and I mean, again, this is a major departure of the comics. This is not the Despero narrative of the comics. But I just wonder if that's what we're seeing, that maybe, you know, Despero is existing in some sort of parasitic way with a human from Earth. So, by the way, this actor, I forget his name, but he did a fantastic job. I loved him as Despero.
Oh, yeah, he's really good. And I love that they kept his beard in Despero form. I thought that was super cool.
That was great.
I loved that.
It somehow like made him more menacing. Like it made it more real. I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah, you don't want no baby-faced Despero running around.
Yeah, that was very well done. I'm excited, man. I think we are set up here for a really, really great crossover event. I think Despero is a really great villain for this. If we trade out, like if the idea is like every single episode, we're going to have like, you know, like the next episode maybe is the Black Lightning, and the next episode after that is the Batwoman, and the next episode after that is, you know, whomever. Oh, by the way, there were some great moments and nods throughout to other characters as well. Got to make mention of this. When Barry gets shrunk by Adam and then comes back up and he's like, oh, that's how Dickle feels.
I thought that was great. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Loved that. Also loved a lot of the visual callbacks that they did to things last season, even things in this episode. I thought worked really well. You know, again, it kind of reorients the audience and especially speaks to those that might be experiencing The Flash for the first time, which, by the way, if that's you, welcome. And yeah, stay tuned. You'll be able to enjoy the entire crossover with us here at the TV Talk podcast. And we're glad that you're here. What else, man? Any other kind of little things before we close it all down?
Yeah, it's interesting because like I don't think Despero shows up until like, you know, almost 2/3 of the way through the episode. Which,
well, he's in the first scene.
Well, yeah, I mean, shows up for like, you know, in our time to fight the Flash, you know, which I thought was really interesting. It was cool to me that they spent a lot of time showing us the whole level up thing, right? Like, I mean, they said it like 5,000 times in the episode. It was cool to kind of for them to give the thing like with the train rescue, with the Flash time, with the Royal Straight Gang, you know, all of that kind of stuff, just to sort of bring us up to speed, if you will, with how much more powerful Barry has become, and to really set the stage for how much of a throwdown this is going to be with Despero. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was really, really neat. I was kind of sad that we didn't see Speed Force lightsabers, because I thought that's kind of, you know, like we were talking about, like, you know, having tools in your arsenal on a season finale, they're not seeing him again, and then we don't see Speed Force lightsabers, so, you know,
okay, for my money, I would love to see a return of Speed Force lightsabers. I was here for that. I thought that was great, but I also fully recognize that there were a lot of Flash fans that did not resonate with, and like I said, I think we're dealing with a creative team that is not going to go back to the well of things they know there's kind of pushback for in the fan community.
They're not even going back to the wells.
Oh, except they are, though. Except
I know.
Except
yeah,
they
are. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, they are.
But I would love to see the lightsabers come back. I liked the Speed Force lightsabers. And I, you know, if y'all hated on that, that's fine. But I loved that. I thought that was great.
I would love to see that in a special episode where it's the Flash, but it takes place in like feudal Japan. And the Flash is a Ronin and he has a Speed Force katana.
Yo, like, yeah,
why am I not writing great for this show?
probably because of that pitch right there. That is,
oh, come on.
Hey,
they did it in Star Wars. They in Legends or whatever. Star Wars, or was it Visions?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was like the coolest episode.
Yeah, I have not seen Visions yet. I need to. Visions?
I haven't finished all of them, but I've seen like the first four or five.
Okay. Little Star Wars TV Talk Visions edition.
Some shows become talked about. Some talked about things become shows.
We'll do it, man.
Yes.
I think that sounds great. All right. So other than the lightsabers not making a comeback, anything else?
Like, I honestly don't want them to come back, but I'd like for somebody to be like, Barry, why don't you use your Speed Force lightsaber? He's like, nah, that's stupid.
No. See, we are a podcast divided. I love the lightsabers. I how dare you?
It's it, I it was one of those things where I just had a really strong feeling that it was gonna be one of those things we never saw come back again, and we didn't. I'm glad we saw these other things come back, like Flash Time's iconic now. We can't not have Flash Time.
Absolutely, yeah.
And like, you know, this is a prime example of what I was talking about, how like, you know, we have characters level up and then you never see them use that extent of their power ever again. And Speed Force lightsabers, I think, is one of those things. I mean, I thought it was kind of, I don't know. It was like, it was cool, but it just did not fit. So there's something weird about it. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see it. Maybe we won't. But yeah, I'm just glad that we have a basis of how powerful Flash is, and it makes me excited to see where this is going to go. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, how do you keep escalating your bad guys and, you know, nullify those advances that Flash has made? So I'm really curious to see what the writers do with it.
I like it, man. I think it's good. I'm excited to see it as well. I think that we've been introduced to a version of all of these characters at a level we've been clamoring for some time now. So I'm hoping that this is not just the setup for a great crossover, but the setup for a great season. And yeah, like I said, I'm hopeful that that's exactly what we're going to be dealing with. Hey, we want to do something a little bit different this season. If you've got thoughts while you're actively watching the show, use the hashtag FlashTVTalk. We'll be monitoring those to read some of your tweets in future episodes. So again, as you're watching, whether you're binge watching, whether you're going back, and if you're, you know, if you're watching live, awesome, or if you're watching the next day, whenever it may be, just use the hashtag FlashTVTalk, and we'll be pulling directly from those to read your feedback here on the show. So let's try that this season and see how it works out. Want to encourage you to head over to iTunes, write us a review. You can find us there. TV Talk is the name of the podcast. It goes a long way to help the show. And also, if you're able to help the show financially, head over to patreon.com/TV Talk. Your support there is why we're able to do what we do here. You can follow us, TV Talk FM, on the Twitters. You can also find all of our information and more at tvtalk.fm. Bell, I think that is going to do it for us for today. But don't worry, season 8 is back, and we will be back in a flash.
And scene.